they do. It's just a matter of making it clear here that Joe's Bar and Grill can't get a grant from the state.
I disagree. A nonprofit corporation requires three people to incorporate. You gotta have articles, which have to be accepted by the state.
That's
right. You gotta write bylaws, which have to be recorded. It's
that's
a big deal.
That's what they're shooting for, so that you know who you're giving the money to.
Well, you know you're giving it to Joe Blow, you know, and you can
right.
keep a watch on Joe
exactly.
Blow.
Yeah, you can, but what about us? Hey,
right.
I'm not going to debate it. It's
we're
just whatever the members
to form
want.
Corporations
you know?
Here.
Gentlemen, lady, what's your pleasure?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I initially recommended this. I still hold true to that. I think dollars, state dollars particularly, should flow to some type of a legal entity. And again, if you consider, oftentimes these monies are used for operations of programs or whatever, and they should be an entity that can legally bind itself. And so I would support that language.
I want to hear
Andre.
A corporation, let me review this. A corporation is a legal entity, is a legal person that can do everything that does not require biological functions like marriage. It has no more status, I'm not kidding, this is what it is, has no more status, nor any less status than you or me. It can sign contracts, it can buy property, it can hold property and so forth, and it can bequeath, well I guess it can bequeath, well yeah it can bequeath property when it dies. There is nothing magic about a corporation. A corporation is a separate person set up that is legal. It is no more of a legal entity than I am or you are. You are as much of an entity as any corporation in the world. You may not be as rich as some of them, but you still have as much or more rights than a corporation. There's nothing magic about a corporation. It's just a separate legal entity. It is different from a partnership, which is nothing but a conglomeration of individuals, each of which has generally, in any general partnership, has as much responsibility as any of the others or all of the others. But a corporation is just a separate legal person. There's nothing magic about a corporation. I don't see that a corporation would be any more upstanding and moral than you or I would. One of the problems with a corporation is that it can be killed with a stroke of the pen, and you can't put a corporation in jail. You can fine a corporation, but you cannot incarcerate it. You can incarcerate a person. And I suspect that having a person on the receiving end would be better than having a corporation on the receiving end.
If we weren't the government, I'd agree with you that these are grants for public purposes, not to individuals. And I think an entity that is trying to demonstrate that it is there for a public purpose, establish itself in a formal fashion before it takes government money. It's not my money, it's not your money, that's just my feelings. So, Mr. Burns, did you have a comment?
Well, the attempt, needless to say, is to get some type of focus as to where these public dollars are going, and ideally if the public dollars, it should go to a public purpose, then that in mind, the organization ought to be some type of a legal entity that can contract with the state. Now, there's another situation that I think may not be covered here, and I don't think it has to be. You look at a sole source professional type service where perhaps through a grant or so the state contracts through a grant for professional services. That is covered in another statute. I don't think we have a problem with that. If you look at a municipality, you've got a legal entity there that has a board of directors and a responsible person. And it comes down to a philosophy at this point. Public dollars ought to go to a public purpose, and by and large, public purposes or public entities are normally incorporated as a non-profit organization. And I propose that we encourage that.
Including comments? Yes, sir.
The prime purpose of setting up a corporation, profit or non-profit, is to absolve the officers from responsibility. That is the prime purpose of a corporation. That's the whole legal concept. You set up this separate legal entity, and then the people who run it are not responsible. Now, of course, they are to some extent, but by and large, they're not responsible. That's why a corporation is set up. Setting up a non-profit corporation just means that they're not trying to make money, and if they do make any money, they're going to spend it, and they're not going to distribute it to the stockholders.
Gary, you have any comments at all?
No.
I think you both make valid points. Let's vote on it. All those supporting this nonprofit limitation signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Negatory.
Abstaining?
No abstaining.
Okay.
Sure.
This is committee.
Got a fish and cut bait.
What? How about nonprofit if they have environmental? Okay, that is adopted by the committee, subject to a motion when the rest of the members are here to remove it again. Okay, now we've established, and I think maybe you'll find that this language here is nicer than ours, at least from the perspective that Representative Wallace was saying here as you move down the page, language for grant recipients, establish and follow specific accounting procedures for the administration of the grant that will provide the documentation necessary to make an accurate determination of how the grant is spent. And I'll work diligently to keep the feeling of it as close to this as possible. Number two, but we've adopted the concept. Number two, use the interest earned only for the purposes specified in the appropriation. We've adopted that concept. Provide a status report on the grant project to the granting agency before the legislature convenes. We've adopted that concept. Grants of $100,000 or less, and there will be an audit. Now, you guys developed a schedule. What we adopted just simply said that the department will establish audit requirements. I'll work out something specific and bring it back to you for your approval, but the concept of an audit requirement has been accepted. Treat the cost of an audit required by this section as a cost of the grant project. That was, I think, probably something of special importance to the small communities, and we will make sure that that's included in there if there's no objection. To the extent consistent with the purpose of the appropriation, make the facilities and services available for the general public. That is already in 315, and I will make sure that it's also in 316 and 317, or else in 318, if that seems more draftsman-like. Number eight, spend the money allocated or appropriated only for the purposes specified. Same thing, that already exists in 315, and if it's not adequately covered in 16 or 17, unless there's objection from the group, we'll address that. And finally, and I really am, I can't tell you really how grateful I am that you stayed this extra 20 minutes. I've got one more page to run through real quick with you, and that's the one that looks like this. Mr. Maru.
Yes, sir. Some time ago, I mentioned the seven amendments. We've so far gone through two of them. We still have Phillips, Furnace, unless they're withdrawn, BCRA, Mine, and Brex.
Ain't been forgotten, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I must draw on you.
You sure you couldn't do 10 more minutes?
No, I've got to leave some place by 5 o'clock.
All right. Okay, then we'll do 5 more. We still have a quorum. The proposed beginning and completion dates of the grant and an annual budget period must be specified in the grant award. In existing statutes, it says they must begin within 5 years. Do the members have any desire to comment upon when it should end? In other words, to put a 10-year limit, for example, on capital construction or anything like that. Mr. Bader, any comment?
No, I think that's the pleasure of the committee.
Do you think it would create a problem for, let's say they appropriate the money, maybe just say it should end in a certain period unless an exception is granted? I mean, I don't know.
I think that probably in 99% of the cases, you could establish a termination date and it wouldn't hold, but it is likely that on some construction projects there will be complications and it probably couldn't be finished.
Let's just put 7 years.
Why don't you say
statutory limitation?
You want to say seven?
I can't. The only other project, the mega projects that are the ones going to take more than 7 years. I mean, and even then, that's going to be controlled by some state agency. APA for one.
The money should be spent. The agency?
The money should be spent in 7 years, one would think.
Well, most cases they are in 7 years.
Oh, yes.
7 years.
That's why I use that old statutory 7 years.
With, and then say exceptions will be granted with good cause or something like that. I mean, you've got to let people off if there's a disaster. Yeah, but like if they go with the law and they wait 5 years to start spending
it,
and the money accrues to the... Yeah, that's my question. Is it the legislature or the agency?
I think it should be the legislature.
I object. I don't like that at all. Right now, if we go through this process where there's a community grant out of one of the departments, and the department says that they have a deadline, and they do set it. And right now I've gone through a couple places where land problems came up, they weren't able to spend the money, we got an extension to the commission.
I think the agency.
But you got 7 years.
Do you really want to have a legislative vote when the road, breaks
and
they have to
do it with reappropriation?
You could say the money would have to be reappropriated at the end of that period, at the end of 7 years, reappropriation is required.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
okay, well then why don't we say that? Why don't we put in
the
7 years and say that however, I don't know, is there some language that needs to be put in there for reappropriation?
Let me ask Kate, in your district, you have funds out there still floating around that were appropriated 7 years ago? Well then, life is being a problem the next 10 years is pretty slim.
Okay, I will go to the department and to you all and come up with some language that says 7-year limit, but reappropriations, you know, are available and will not be discouraged or something.
Yeah, whatever you
do. Yeah,
if
something
you're
like
on
that.
Reappropriations.
Okay, I've eliminated 2 and 3. We've already dealt with that. Number 4 has been dealt with. Number 5 has been dealt with. Number 6 has been dealt with. Grantee financial management systems meet the standards. That's been dealt with. Transactions for procurement conducted in a manner provides maximum open and free competition, whether by competitors deal, but competitive negotiation. That's going to be dealt with in another piece of legislation, and I think we should wait on that if you don't mind. Some form of grantee cost and price analysis. Must, I don't think.
Mr. Chairman, what was the genesis of this?
Someone wrote me a letter really upset about some granting procedures, and coincidentally in there was a list of recommendations. It just came in from the public.
It wasn't addressed to the governor?
It was a copy of a letter sent to the governor, yeah.
And this is March 20-something of the 28th of this year?
Yeah, I just got it. It just happened to be on my desk this morning, and I said, oh, look, there's somebody else's suggestions. I threw them in the pile. Didn't look at them or anything. If you want to see the whole letter, I'd be more than happy to show it to you. Okay, moving on, Mr. Maru, you wish to bring your amendments to the floor?
My amendment originally had to do, well, if we were to adopt it, had to do with 318, and it was going to be put at the tail end of Mr. Furness's amendment. And it has to do with general guidelines. Mr. Furness suggested that the Commissioner of Administration may adopt regulations to implement the provisions of 315 to 17, but the regulations shall include only provisions that establish procedures for safekeeping and investment of grant money, management and disposition of property acquired by grant money, and post-audit of grant transactions.
All right, so what I see you really looking for here is a little purpose section, or to have this inserted somewhere in the statement that says they may make regulations, which says, however, such regulations are for the intents that you list.
Right, such regulations shall not impede, hinder, et cetera. That, my language, is going to follow Furness's language in 318. And I see it, though, in place of the specific regulations that we've been discussing today. I see it as guidelines instead of the specific regulations that we discussed today.
Would you like, then, to take this procedure? I think the committee, once we get our rules on the table, has to encourage, in the strongest terms, the administration to come forward and advise us if there's anything else that they want to regulate that we didn't cover. And then for the members of the committee, you know, meeting a little bit, I'll meet with the chairman of the committees that this will go to next and see what we're dealing with. The members of the committee then have the opportunity to determine whether they want to put out a list from this committee or they want to go with something like this in something more like the original bill. If you want to add this to the list...
Is this going to be the last day we're going to discuss this bill?
Oh, no.
I see, philosophically, I see there's two different things. One is we set up guidelines for the executive branch to do their own regulations, or the other thing, we try to write the regulations.
So you want to hold this until we determine whether or not we want to go with the list?
It would seem logical.
Let's do that, then. We're back on the table with that. Mr. Phillips, Bob tells me that you've got a modified version that will allow planning to be funded without funding construction.
I checked with legal services this morning, and Mike Ford feels that the language as he had written will address some as well the concerns that were brought up.
So you feel you can hold off on this for a bit, is that it? Or you
I'd like
language?
To move it.
I'm sorry, there's a problem, though. It says that professional services will be no more than 20%, but what if it's the first phase of the project and it's all professional services?
And that would be accounted towards the process itself.
You can't commit the next legislature.
I know.
I don't see how you can do it. If they fund planning and design for a project and they just have an estimate of what the rest is going to be, you can't commit the next legislature to appropriate that money. I mean, it would have to be on an appropriation by appropriation basis.
But that money would follow the project, would it not, in a single accounting?
Yeah, but then they'd have violated the law if the project doesn't get completed for some reason or something goes wrong. I guess what I was concerned about was the administrative costs, but maybe something that limited administrative costs would be a way to address your concern.
It says administrative costs.
Well, it also says land survey, engineering, etc.
That is administrative costs.
Comments?
I like it. if there's some way we can put it in, and it does go into 315, as opposed to these others, I would be in favor of it. I suspect that Furness would be in favor of it, too. Of course, I'm guessing.
Well, Randy, do you think I could meet with you on this and we could talk about it?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
No, hey, look, I'm just asking, we're making the amendments. If you want to pursue the amendment, I understand that. I also understand that it's going to be read by some people as saying that we cannot do our land acquisition or our land survey.
The way I view it, if these guys are going to do a $500,000 project and they only can squeeze out the first year $100,000 for planning for professional services, which means architectural, engineering, land survey, contracting, efficient planning services, and that's all they can spend, $100,000.
Scott, could you get him back?
So if they, excuse me,
do you have anything to offer?
I've got to take the comments and
okay.
This has been around for a long time.
Well, while you're here, do you have any comments on this?
On a specific issue?
On Randy's amendment.
Well, I think, just off the top of my head, one, it could just start at 315. What about 316, where in fact it isn't?
No, we're talking about all of it. We're talking about all of it.
Well, there was some comment.
I think
you've got a mix. You're talking about administration, and you're talking about architects, engineers, design things. Those are two different issues. You know, there are often legislative appropriations to municipalities for a project that they had absolutely no intention of building. It's not designed, the property is not acquired. You know, those are big problems. So you don't just go zooming out there and build a road. There's an appropriation in Fairbanks for a road that they put it in there with sink.
What if the capital project is to survey the ball field? What if the capital project is to do a comprehensive plan? I mean, I agree with you completely that what I guess I really want to know from you is, do you have an objection to a 20% limit on admin costs?
Well, I think if somebody wants to put a grant in the legislature, let's say if I have a $500,000 project I'm thinking about, if I put a project in, I could say subject to exemption of 3705-315.
You mean notwithstanding
the provisions provided, if there's appropriation bill coming through, let's say this is law today. I got a project for a ballpark out in Eagle River, and I could say $100,000 for landscaping, or let's say just plain old surveying, 162 acres.
How about this? We've covered everything now except for this. I don't have any personal problem with this, but I feel that there are some people who think that this is such an explosive amendment that maybe it would be appropriate for the committee to be here. If you would like, I'd speak with you about the language. If we can't reach an accord, I will have it prepared as an amendment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you know what the problem is. I mean, there's projects, I don't know about the rest of the local government in the country, around the state, but I've gotten a lot of complaints my constituents, saying that when projects taking 30, 40, and sometimes 50% of the money for administrative services, there's some problems out there, and people, it's just not one or two or three people complaining. I mean, I get it.
Administrative services is different from contract services. I mean, administration is where I'm getting the complaints. That, so much money is going into paying the guys in the office that, the real construction project is getting shorted. But I don't hear that in relation to, I hear it with planning. I don't hear it with engineering or architectural so much. Although I guess I should when you look at the cost.
I should just really give you the... Every time we put in $2 million in the Eagle River, it seems to me that 35
you like it?
Whacked off by Mr.
I like it, yeah. And we haven't discussed the brick. I would like to, if it's necessary, I'll sponsor these two. One has to do with a section we haven't looked at, pre-audit of plan.
Okay, now,
are we not addressing it?
No, I will, no, wait a minute. If you want to adopt it, what I'd like to do, what I'd appreciate doing, is to renumber it to fit into the CS and bring it up before the full committee. I think I'll vote for it, but I'd really
like
to. Well,
it'd be right at the beginning, because there's no 315 in the CS.
Okay, champ.
I mean, it's simple.
I'm just hesitant to write in anything controversial with only the three of us here.
I understand. I hear you. Well, bring it up the next committee meeting. I'm just telling you, it's just on me. I mean, I'm just representing my folks, and they're having a lot of
problems. Please don't misunderstand me. What I'd like to do, if I could, Randy, is to meet with you, make sure the language is tight. Let's walk it around to the other members. If the votes are there, let's adopt it right into this. We'll write it into the CS. You know, I no tricks. I'm just nervous about it with just a few of us. Okay. Grant, the thank you, Scott. The essence of the things that I believe can be put into this bill and these regulations, and you gentlemen tell me if you think I'm wrong, I don't think we can deal with the telephone number, but this is my opinion, but I do think we could deal with a requirement that the local laws and the state laws be followed or the grant money will be frozen. And that seems to me a very responsible thing to do.
Well, I was considering, I don't know what you're looking at, you mentioned telephone number, but I don't know what that has to do with.
Well, we discussed a number of things that were recommended to us. The amendment as written is not consistent with the rest of what we're doing, but I mean the comments in it are very valid.
The first page here has to do with compliance with state and local laws, and I was wondering whether perhaps we should put it in the bill as a separate section, 319 perhaps, labeled compliance with state and local laws, and then put some of this language in it.
I think we can put it right into the section we're writing and saying that they will establish regulations to ensure compliance of state and local laws and develop, you know, whatever it is, such that they can freeze these grant monies if those laws are not...
Under 318.
Oh, yeah, because this is where they put in the regulation where they say that we will not give you the money if you do not do such and such.
You mean like number 7, 8, 9 or something?
Yes, sir.
As we have in the non-CS?
Yes, sir. In the non-CS, you bet. I wouldn't kid you, Andre. It is a non-CS.
I'm not doubting it. I just don't know what to call it.
Well, they stuck it on there. Believe me, I jumped on poor Bob trying to get him to get that off there, but there just wasn't time.
Well, if you would consider it, you know, before the committee next time, I would like to introduce that as whatever we want to call
okay,
it.
Okay, let me get that language consistent with the rest of the language in the bill to implement the purpose, and Bell, correct me if I'm wrong, the purpose being to freeze that money if they're not following the local laws and the state laws.
Right.
No problem.
I do think it's absolutely vital, though, that you have some sort of mechanism whereby a citizen can reach the Department of Administration and let them know that the local government is violating the law. It's very difficult as a citizen to find out how to do this. It needs to be stated, I think, maybe as a grant.
All right, Gary, what does somebody who can't afford a phone call do when they see that one of your grantees is not following the law?
I don't know. We have, to my knowledge, we haven't received any collect calls. They do call us on occasion. There haven't been that many in relation to the number of grants out there, and they could be because they don't know who to call. It's that looking through the state directory, it doesn't pop out at you that the Division of Administrative Services is the place to call for this.
Well, maybe the Department of Administration, you know, could send out something that could be posted in the city offices or something advising, you know, where complaints about state grants should be lodged, you know, because I'm going to put in that non-discrimination language, and you bet I want them to come to you if they're not getting hired. So.
I could see if it's too late to get the phone directory, which I think would be, you know, just identifying it as municipal grant unit.
Would you
would
accept
be
collect
person?
Calls if necessary?
Yes, I think I would.
What do we have to do short of putting it in this bill to really establish that as a reality?
Well, I think I can do that. I don't. It's a question of 2 months ago we filled out the request for what do you want the next phone directory. So I don't know if it's too late to get there.
It's too late to find out now. But whom would we contact on that? Department of Administration, I would assume.
Well, now if you're talking about state phone directory,
yeah.
They published that right before the beginning of each legislative session.
Every
I don't think that would be any problem.
Well, Bell, maybe we could address it. You tell me if you're not satisfied. Maybe we could address your issue by having you and Bob work on directing, you know, some communication with Gary here and find the administrative ways to implement it. Because really, just adding a phone number on their circulars and stuff like that shouldn't be any big deal, and I don't think it needs to be in the regs that go to the municipality.
Well, I would disagree with that. I think it has to be right at the municipality where the person who sees the violation can see the number right away and not have to call the whole thing.
Okay, we're closing out on the bill Wednesday. How about if between now and a week from today, the three of you discuss the issue and make a determination as to what is needed to respond to it. Obviously, it's got to be done as cheap as possible. At the same time, people should be able to access you when there's a complaint.
When I put in here salvage mechanisms, when I suggested the hotline, I simply meant that as a possible regulatory procedure, not to go into the law, but to be at the delegation.
If we can't do it in conversation, we'll look for other means. Let's see if we can, in a week, satisfy your concern. I think that certainly everyone agrees a legitimate one. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't see establishing a phone line or anything as taking the place of this. I think this needs to be in language. And if we're going to consider...
No relationship at all. No, this is just the hotline idea. This is separate. I'm with you.
All right, next thing here is a pre-audit of claims, which would go into section 190.
Let's see, where is that?
That's on the back side. That's the second thing submitted by Brett.
I seem to have managed to lose mine.
Pre-audit of claims.
It's on the second page.
The second page.
I know, I ripped my pages apart when my dad had it.
But you get for ripping apart.
Listen, I'm right up on the wall. I think that the audit requirement, I don't think we can tackle this in this bill. Discussion?
This was made as an alternative suggestion. If you can't put it into 139, then possibly it could be put into 190.
Boy, I don't think that the Department of the fiscal note that would attach to this, if the Department of Administration had to audit every single claim, refund, demand, I don't think I could even get it read by the Finance Committee, much less heard, to be honest with you. If there'd be some way to limit this down to something that's manageable with existing staff.
This is the existing staff.
See, that's how naive I am.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
Right, this is the existing statute.
I don't see how they do it. Do you do it?
What this statute does, Mr. Chairman, this is the requirement that before any document is submitted to the computer, if you will, to issue a check, that somebody in state government certify that, first of all, that there are funds available and that this is for the lawful purpose and according to appropriation. So this is the statute upon which the Division of Finance does much of its operation. Right now, when a municipality sends their report to us, we do make out such a document and we do send it to the Division of Finance. Basically, it's an accounting transaction that tells the computer to issue a check. However, in terms of the actual audit of the municipality's request, there is no audit of that request. What the state has done is said, yes, we have a certified document from the municipality that authorizes us to issue this check.
Comments from the members?
I was just going to say, I like the addition of the language I suggested here.
All in favor?
Wrong with it. Sir?
Would you make that a motion?
So moved.
All in favor? Opposed?
Wrong.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.
Thank you
very much, Bill. We got one of them. And thank you very much, Gary. I need to speak with you. We need to review what has come down here, and you and Bob and the drafters need to get together. And, at the next meeting, if the department doesn't like it, I want to know it. And if the department does like it, I want to know it, because we sure didn't spend four meetings to end up with a document that the Department of Administration doesn't like. If it's no good for you, we can pass out that other bill and, just like the original statements were, work it out in finance. But if this meets your needs, it at least tells the people what they're going to get. And that was the whole goal of this exercise. So please get Lisa to review it
and
come up with her comments. And thank you so much. And you and I, Randy, will get together on the amendment and contact the other members and before the next meeting determine whether it's going to go or not, so we don't have to hassle about it. Thank you all. Oh. precious documents.